Random thought. No one cares about your fantasy football team and how it's doing besides you and the people that have to listen to you brag about it all the time because they're in the league with you.
I would have to say yes to that.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Season 4, Episode 139. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, it's football season. As you can see, we're decked out in our...
Who that? Who that?
49.
Who that say they gonna beat them Saints?
The
who that?
The 49.
Stand up and get crunk.
You know, we beat y'all in the playoffs all the time, so I just want you to remember that. Anyway.
Okay. We've won a championship more recent than you've won a championship. That means we're better.
Actually, it doesn't. How many have you won?
We won a really good one. It was so good.
You also have an era when you were the paper bag Saints. I mean, we had an era where we went back to Pee Wee football and decided to start recruiting and playing players from there. And that's what we did all the way through the 2000s. But you guys were the paper bag Saints for a long time.
Okay. Well, when you win another championship, then I'll be humble.
Okay. Well, we'll be there before you. I guarantee. Okay. I guarantee it.
Okay. Y'all heard it here. Week one. It begins.
Look, man, you know, football is back, and it can't be any better. We've had, of course, a week, actually about 2 weeks of college football already. And here we are now, first week of NFL football. Your team won today. As we record this on Sunday, my team mollywhopped the Steelers, you know, as we should. And one of the things that's out there, too, is I know I'm a part of a couple of fantasy football leagues, but one of the things that popped up, and I just thought this was so right, because you remember when we started fantasy football. I don't know if you did it when we did it first, but Anthony, when we were back at UTSA, he brought up this whole concept of fantasy football. I'm like, what is this crap? And that's when you tell you how long ago it was. You had to tally the points manually to figure out how many points your players had, right? But here it is now. Everybody signed up on ESPN or Yahoo or whatever. And OBJ had to make it a point because everybody's so boastful about how great they are at drafting, how great their players are doing. And then they take it out on the players sometimes. And OBJ just had to say before the season started, look, can I put this out there in the most respectful way? F your fantasy team. I'm playing for my squad and my family. Don't ask me nothing about it, but it's still all love.
Well, I totally get that because that's the thing about fantasy football. You got people who really think that they are coaches and owners of teams.
Yes.
And so if they aren't able to come across maybe NFL player or whatever, they're asking questions. Not so much to check on, hey, you know, Odell, how's your health? How's your ankle? How you feeling health-wise? You feeling good? How's your family? It's like, hey, Odell, how many touchdowns do you think you're going to get? I'm trying to decide, do I start you or do I not? Do I put in a sub? Do I flex? You know, all the different weird fantasy football terms. I don't do fantasy football because it's a part-time job. It's a part-time job.
Well, you know, the other part is when if somebody comes out of the game, you're already doing well. You're like, all right, well, this game's in the bag and they sit on the sidelines. People will tweet their favorite players or their players on their team and like, yo, I needed 10 more yards to win. Like, I don't give a who cares?
Yeah.
But interesting thing, like, and I love this because some of the comments that came behind it, hey, just catch touchdowns, little bro, and stay healthy. You know, that's how much people don't care that he's saying, look, man, F your fantasy team. Someone ain't nothing respectful about you saying F my fantasy team. People take this to heart because fantasy football is just so, like you said, they feel like they're the owners. They have control because everybody knows how to do your job better than you until they have to do it.
Right. Yeah. I do think the people that are deep into fantasy football, it's annoying. They really feel like they are strategists of the game. And if I put this person here, put this person here, man, it wound up being a big business. Think about it. It's legal gambling.
Yes.
But it wound up being a big business so much that you have podcasts that talk about who you should put in your fantasy draft, mm-hmm. and all these different things, who you should start,
hell,
who you
should ESPN not start. Has that, all that stuff too.
Exactly.
Shows dedicated to it.
It's a whole thing. And so there's a market for it. I get it. But the players don't care. Now, here's what I do. What I do wonder is, do the players play fantasy football?
They can't.
And I know, but they can't legally. But do they?
You see what happened to Calvin Ridley. He got caught gambling, and he had to sit out a whole year.
They can't legally, but I'm sure they could, you know, have a fantasy football team. And are they picking, like, do they pick their own quarterback? Do they not pick their quarterback? Just curious.
Look, man, I'll tell you something seriously. Like, I had, because I ended up, somebody took the 49ers defense in my league, right? So the defense that was left that I could get, I got the Steelers defense. I actually had the Steelers defense starting today. Thank God I was smart enough to go, nah, bruh, you know your team. Pull the Steelers out. Because I was playing against myself. And that's what happens. And I get the concept of fantasy football because it gets people more interested in more games. You get people watching more games. You'll see people there with their phones at a bar because they're looking at multiple games because they want to see how different players are doing. And that's why the notifications even tell you, like, oh, so-and-so is in the red zone. They're on your team. Watch this game. It's all about viewership. And you're right. It has become big business. I love it. But look, fan is short for fanatic, and you got to leave these players alone, man. It's not a, if the team, the game is on the line and I decide to, all right, let me slide here and not go into the end zone for the touchdown so that I don't give the other team a chance to score on us and win the game. Why are you tweeting at me, being mad at me for doing what's best for the team? Because it didn't benefit your fantasy team.
Right. Only times the players are selfish is when it comes to their bonus.
Yes.
End of the year. Or if they go visit like a children's ward and, hey, Johnny, I'm going to get a touchdown for you today.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Other than that, for your fantasy league, they're like, oh, Yandy, are you starting me today? For real? Well, shoot. Let me stretch. Let me get ready.
Fan, which is short for fanatic, forgets that fantasy means not real football team. I don't care if my fantasy team, if I lose every game in my fantasy league, if my 49ers win every game of the season, I'm great with that.
Yeah, but then if they win every game of the regular season, odds of them winning the ship goes lower statistically.
Who says who?
Says Patriots? That nobody's gone undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yes, they have. The 1972 Dolphins.
No, won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't win. The Dolphins have not had an undefeated season.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. Dan Marino, no.
Dan Marino was not the quarterback at the time. Go ahead. Google it right now.
I have to go look it up.
No, Google it right now. Google it right now.
I won't do it right now. I don't want to take away from the show. I'll look it up.
I'll skip the part when you're Googling.
I'll look it up. Oh, that's right. We're not live. You can edit.
Google it right now. I want people to see your face and you tell me I'm right. Because the last time that I was wrong, I even said it to you. I'll say, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm wrong. Without anybody else saying it, I told you that. So I want to hear you say the same thing.
Let me see what comes up.
2 hours later.
1972 Miami Dolphins, still the only defeated NFL team.
Now let me hear it.
Hold on.
They pop the Bears, champagne the every year when the last undefeated team loses. The Patriots were the closest to do it because they went, that year they had Randy Moss, they went all the way to the Super Bowl and then they lost to the Giants.
Strahan's last year.
Yep.
You were right. The 1972 Miami Dolphins were the last undefeated NFL team that went all the way to the championship.
And won. The only one.
The Bears and the Patriots got to the championship but didn't win it. But the Dolphins is the only undefeated team. The Bears, I just looked at this article. It was the Bears, the Patriots, and the Dolphins that had undefeated regular seasons. But the Dolphins are the only team that won the championship. Jesus, let me go back to see if I can find.
He said, oh, Jesus, let me go back and look.
Let me find that article.
And that'd be an NFL championship.
Did you do? All right. Where's that line that tells me what I just talked about?
1934.
Okay, NFL teams to go undefeated in regular season are Miami Dolphins, Chicago Bears, and New England Patriots. The Bears and the Patriots lost in the NFL championship. The Bears achieved continued success in the regular season of 1934 and 1942. During that time, the final playoff was called the NFL championship game.
Championship game, yeah.
So it was way long time ago. But Bears, yeah. Patriots.
It was in the Super Bowl.
And the Dolphins. Undefeated teams that went to the Super Bowl. The Dolphins are the only one that won it.
Well, I hate to be technical. There wasn't a Super Bowl in 34. That's why. All right. We get the point. You good now? You okay after having to tell me I'm... You okay now after having to tell me that I was right?
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
I'm drinking like vodka, so yeah, I don't mind saying it.
Let me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. There was NFL this weekend, great, but it's not the only thing in sports this weekend. For the love of sports, this was a great weekend. I know you especially had a great weekend with college football.
Yep. Texas Longhorns beat Bama 34-24, beat them by 10, and looked phenomenal doing it. So really excited about that game.
The thing with that I looked at, of course, Notre Dame, and you know, cool. We don't have to talk about Notre Dame. We can talk about Coach Prime, who once again, because the naysayers were all over him again. They're expecting the fall. After the first week, they're like, oh, that's just too much. You guys said it before the season even started, then over under for number of games they're going to win is 3. Because you doubted he could do what he's doing and what his players are doing.
Mm-hmm.
The people who believe in what he's saying is doing. And shouts out to Pat McAfee, who's been right, like, Prime, you are doing it the right way. And so many people are saying we need to go back to this old school way, which is what he's doing. But because he's doing it from a braggadocious standpoint, a very confident standpoint, people are mad at him.
Yeah. You know, it was a great game. I mean, that first quarter was trash. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say the bulk of the second quarter was trash. And then finally, they came out and started performing like the offense that performed against TCU.
Yep.
They made some great adjustments at halftime. But the fact that rivalry, and I got to research why that's a big rivalry between Colorado and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But for the way they played and their resiliency to stay engaged, not feel defeated, because it almost seemed like whoever's going to get tired first. Right. And those Nebraska boys are some big boys.
Yes,
Colorado, Colorado, they're not big in size, but they're big in heart, right? They say it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog.
Yep.
Man, those dogs that Deion has, they are phenomenal to watch. And so I loved seeing that win. Shador played really well, no interceptions again. It's just exciting to watch. And I've always thought Nebraska was trash. Nebraska hasn't been a big thing since they left the Big 12. So I like making fun of Nebraska fans because they gave me so much shit when I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'd wear my Texas stuff. Mm. And they would just talk trash. I'm like, well, y'all suck.
Yeah. Well, and they did again this weekend. It was again, good game, but the story behind the game, because like you said, it's a big rivalry, right? This rivalry, they first started playing in 1898 and started competing annually as conference opponents back in 1948. So this is a very long-standing rivalry, right? Well, now they're no longer in the same, because they're not in the same conference anymore, right?
Colorado and...
Yeah, because Nebraska's in the Big Ten and Colorado moved to the Pac-10. So it's now Pac-12.
Pac-12.
Yeah. Well, when they moved, it was Pac-10 at the time. So they're not in the same, but that rivalry still remains. They're not in the same conference anymore, but that rivalry still remains. And there's that. Well, here's the difference. You've got all these new players who have no history with this.
Right.
A whole new coach who has no history with this rivalry. Well, here is the thing for Coach Prime. You know Nebraska's coming in with this rivalry, and that's been preached to them. So you got to make sure Colorado feels the same way. You got to make sure the players do it too, especially on the home field, right? So he tells them, make it personal. Whatever you have to do, all week, he's telling them, whatever you have to do, make it personal, because this means a lot to the people of Colorado. This means a lot to all the people that go to the University of Colorado, all the fans, all the supporters. This needs to mean a lot to you. Make it personal. And one leader on the team took that very personalized.
You know, Shooter didn't mind giving up some yards, taking his helmet off on the field. But apparently he got ticked off because Matt Rhule and the team, they had a meeting, I guess, on the Buffalo, probably center field. That's what I'm thinking. And that pissed him off.
Well, yeah, his thing was like, if it's a couple players like taking it in, like, okay, yeah, because this is a big deal, cool. But the coach, the head coach standing, because we know how it was, and I loved it when T.O. stood in the middle of the star in Dallas.
Yeah.
And Dallas took offense to it, and then they brought him onto the team. Whatever. But anyway, the same thing here is like, well, the coach is doing it. And the coach has the rest of the team up there with him. No. I'm going to go break this up. But he also took offense to the fact that Matt Rhule had a lot to say, even you know, some side jabs at Deion Sanders when Deion got hired as the head coach of Colorado. He's like, well, you know, there'll be no cameras following me around because I don't need cameras to make me. And it's like, whoa, hold up. You're talking about my dad here.
To be personal. Well, I think to me, these young athletes watch The Last Dance. About Michael Jordan. And so everything, yes. I took that personal. I took that personal. That's what it feels like. You know, but I like how Shador handled it. I think you got to find something in you that makes this game personal. If this is new to you, if the rivalry is new to you, you just don't sign up for a school and be like, oh, you hate them? I hate them too. Like, you have to have that thing in you that makes you want to go at them. And you're going after such a larger sized opponent that you got to have something more than just your athletic ability. It's attitude. It's mindset. And I think Deion did a good job of getting his boys ready for that mindset. And it showed on the field. I mean, by God, close to halftime, Nebraska was wore out.
Yeah.
I mean, Colorado's boys are fast. Nebraska was wore out. And then it just played out throughout the third quarter, fourth quarter, and they just wore them down physically.
Yeah, and then they finally were like, all right, we'll slow down the pace now. Because you pitched that pace up a little bit. Nebraska couldn't handle it. Them big boys. Hey, I love it, man. I think this is going to – I'm following, and I only follow my personal teams, especially, you know, ESPN, you can pick your favorites. I got Colorado tagged on mine now. I want to see I was flipping between them and the Notre Dame game. Love to see Coach Prime doing what he's doing. I'm excited to see what the season pops out. But like I said, so much stuff happening in sports this weekend, man. Coco Gauff. It's so funny because early in the week when she was playing and Alton says to me like, hey, this is going to be her year. She's going to win it. I'm traveling yesterday. I'm in Chicago, Atlanta, Chicago. And I'm like, I'm watching along, seeing as she comes up and beats Sabalenka and wins the U.S. Open at 19 years old. First woman, first teenager to win since Serena Williams. And I think there have only been three American women to win the U.S. Open as teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, Coco Gauff, congrats to her, man. Great. She said she used the comments that people were saying. Hey, what'd you say? She took it personal.
Yeah, too personal. Yeah. What'd she say? That just put the fire in me.
Yes.
Right? Which, here's what I love about this. This doesn't have to only apply to sports.
Right.
Look at your own work life. If you're the cashier at Target and Chrissy, who's been at Target longer, has been talking trash about you, take that personal.
Yes.
And you scan more items than her. You do whatever it takes. You whoop her tail at Target, where you become the custom service manager. Now she works for you. Then you fire.
Then you write her up for being slow.
Yeah.
Put her on a pip. Bounce her ass out the door.
Performance manager out. But I mean, I think that's it's just a great life lesson, man. Sometimes take stuff personal, get that fire in you, and you could accomplish so many things. It's really great to see someone so young to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, makes you might look at your own 19-year-olds around you, be like, what are y'all doing?
Just sitting around. Playing just sitting damn, around. Playing Madden like you do. Yeah. Playing fantasy football like you do. Well, look, funny you should bring that up about the workplace, right? Because saw this pop up in rgrtpod@gmail.com. And it says, Tonight Show staffers accused Jimmy Fallon of creating a toxic workplace. As we get into this bullshit, I gotta ask, is it BS or nah? Because they're saying that he was mean on set. He was drunk, erratic, and creating this toxic workplace like Ellen DeGeneres. Really?
I would have to believe it.
Really?
And here's why I believe it. No, this has nothing to do with Jimmy Fallon, but here's why I believe it. From what I've read and understand about the entertainment industry, a lot of the stuff is in the moment and everything is really well planned out or choreographed. And if you mess it up, you messed up the whole thing, right? It's a big deal, right? It seems you have an actor who they can't remember their lines, always messing up. You're throwing the flow off of everyone else because they get their mind right to be whatever character they got to be, and they got to keep stopping because of you, right?
Right.
So I think that industry has been toxic for a long time. And it's not just Ellen DeGeneres or Jimmy Fallon who are the mean ones. All of them probably are mean. I'm sure Oprah probably mean. There wasn't a lot of social media when Oprah had her own show, right? So I find it believable that he could have created this toxic work environment because it's just the norm in that industry.
Okay, but calling it the norm in the industry, I mean, okay, I mean, I guess I've heard about some of those phone calls, some of the record reps have had. And I remember some old PDs who would, but that's not just this industry, okay? You remember the old barking at you managers before?
And yeah.
Here's the reason why I was never that manager, right? It never worked on me because I know how to block people out. And I'll stop listening. I'm no longer listening. I just hear you yelling. All right, cool. All right, what's the next thing, right? So that's where I looked at it. But some of these people took it really personal. Like one former employee saying, I didn't want to live anymore. I thought about taking my own life all the time. I knew deep down I would never actually do it. But in my head, I'm like, why do I think about this all the time?
So this is why a lot of companies establish EAPs, employee assistance programs, because everybody could use a little bit of help. I'm not a psychologist or therapist. So I don't understand how this person feels. I can recognize how they feel,
right?
But I'm like you, how does it get to this point? You know what I mean? How did it go from new hire orientation? Hey, you joined the awesome team, yada, 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 to you want to kill yourself because of this job. There's certain things that happened in those steps. And I'm hoping that through this investigation, those things come up. Because once you reach your level of your highest level of pissivity, that you just can't be more pissed off than what you are right now. Once you reach that level, you got to think, what are the things that built up to that? Because you can't fix it here when you're at your peak. You got to fix it way back here. So
right.
I just tend to believe that he did it.
So here's my question on this, right? Because I get it. And any well-oiled machine, any great team, they're not going, all right, buddy, come on. Let's go out there and get a first down. That's not how you win. This is not how you succeed. The well-oiled machines, you've got to be precise, you've got to be accurate, and you've got to have attention to detail. And sometimes people are slacking off. And granted, there are many different managerial styles. And again, I'm not the yeller screamer person, and I'm sure you're not either. However, there's some people who are. And just because someone gets upset doesn't mean like all of a sudden, oh, well, why are they so upset? It was just a mistake. It's not about the mistake. It's how you recover, right?
Right.
How do you recover from that? And do you keep making the same mistake over and over again? Because if you do, now the problem's not yours. It's mine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think it's right, but I think just that industry, it's a culture that everyone says, hey, you got, look at the interviews that happen with actors where they talk about different directors they've worked with and how some of them were great and some of them were like, this person's terrible, whatever, but they still did it. Mm-hmm. They went through all the motions and they did the movie and they get the royalties. So I think it's just an industry that says this is the lifestyle and you have to be okay with this, which I can totally understand that because I've worked at companies that had a really toxic culture. And as I would interview people, I would say, hey, you got to have thick skin to work here.
That's why when you say, keep saying it's the industry. It's not the only one where you have to have thick skin. So I'm not understanding when you keep saying that though.
Well, I'm saying if you don't want to deal with that, don't get into that industry.
Yeah,
if you don't want to work in an environment that is going to either lose their mind and yell at you when you screwed up because your screw up to them was critical. But in your mind, you're like, yeah, I forgot a prop. My bad. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But for them, it is a big deal. If you can't handle that, then don't go to that industry. Don't go be a model if you can't stand being judged by how you look because that's what you signed up for. So that's what I mean by it's that industry. Don't go into it if you can't handle the smoke that comes from it. I don't agree with the smoke that comes from it, but again, that's what it is.
And sometimes the level of smoke is a little too much, right? Because sometimes they take it too far and it's a power trip. And I'm assuming this is where you're kind of going in this space too of this well-oiled machine, right? Because in this space, yeah, you can yell at someone or be upset with somebody for making a mistake, but how bad are you going to... We've seen people call out of their names in very bad ways for the simplest things. And
true. You could get, again, this is the industry and all these things come about. If this is what you want to do, you got to go into it with that mindset. You can't go into it with the mindset, I'm going to change it because you got to be able to change it from the inside, but you got to get to a level of power first.
Right.
You just can't walk in and be a key grip and all of a sudden start talking shit. You're going to have to wait and get to a higher level. But in this industry, it is just insane like that. And you have some people who can be really great and nice. And that's what from a fan standpoint, we watch the Ellens, the Jimmys, the Steve Harveys of the world. And we think they could be really great people. Yet they could be tyrants to the people that are working for them. So
or talent is different. And here's the thing about talent, right? And this is why with the Jimmy Fallon part of it, I think everybody sees the happy, smiley Jimmy Fallon on TV. And just like they saw the happy, smiley Ellen DeGeneres on TV. And they're like, well, this is how she's going to be behind the scenes all the time. You're not the same way all the time. And these people are always on. When they step outside, they have to be on. Why? Because that's what the audience expects from them. Well, when they're backstage, they don't want to have to deal with that crap. It's like when people made this big deal about Steve Harvey having a sign saying, don't talk to him before the show starts. That man has 52 jobs. He's trying to figure out which one he's at. What show am I on again? Is it Family Feud? No, sir. It's the Steve Harvey show. You need to go ahead. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let me go.
Survey said. Where's the thing? Mr. Harvey, this is the Miss America pageant.
You saw what happened when they gave him the card? I mean, Jesus. That's because somebody spoke to him backstage and didn't have to. Talent is different. And talent is on. And, you know, dealing with talent all the time. And it's especially the bigger the talent, the more that can switch at any given time. And sometimes you have to walk on eggshells. Sometimes you don't. And this is why I'm like, with this whole thing with Jimmy Fallon, I'm like, oh, we had to walk on eggshells around him. Nobody said this. If nobody told Jimmy, then why is Jimmy actually apologizing now?
Well, I think Jimmy's apologizing because it's true. And he saw what Ellen went through. And he's like, I got to get ahead of this quickly. Because Ellen took too long to come out and apologize. Jimmy's like, whoa. He's thinking long money. Let me come into, I did what?
Like, oh my goodness. I didn't need to create that type of atmosphere for the show.
Is that how y'all felt? Because of me? I have no idea. I am so sorry you felt that way.
Yo, what Jimmy's going to do now, and this actually should be a skit for him, is he should come in like NFL players and NBA players to the game with headphones on, and that's how he walks into the office. That's now when you can't even say anything to him because you didn't want to hear him say anything that wasn't kind and nice and a laugh and a joke for you. I mean, there's a lot going on, and they're always on, and everybody has bad. You never know what's going on in someone's life. Just because they make millions doesn't mean they're happy all the time.
True. And you look how Ellen hasn't been back since that whole thing.
Mm-mm. No, has she?
Right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so. I thought her show, I haven't seen anything. I tend to follow clips and all that, but I haven't seen anything new. But that negatively impacted her brand. Mm-hmm. And so I think Jimmy's trying to get, because Jimmy has always come across like the dude everybody would love to have a beer with.
Right.
He just seems just genuine, good person, all the different stuff that he does. But is it possible that he can be mean when he's running his business? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's possible. You know, but again, I'm not saying he's right. And the other thing is, what didn't come out is specifics. Right. Other than that one instance with Jerry Seinfeld, where apparently someone messed up and Jerry told him, hey, you need to apologize to him. Jerry said, hey, this was really not that big of a deal. Y'all blown this out of proportion. But I haven't really heard specific things that he did or said to people to make them feel this way.
If the only way I can get it, if it's off of the simplest things, right? If it's the smallest thing, then so be it. But if you're messing up and you're going to get it, so be it. And it's talent, man. Talent's going to do what talent does. And by the way, Ellen's show ended last year. Shows you how much neither of us watched that show. All we watched was clips.
Yeah, but how long ago was it that this came out? Because the scandal about her came out before Twitch died.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the noise about Ellen kind of went away after Twitch died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, look, man, do what you're supposed to do. Do your, in the words of The Rock, know your role and do your job.
Yeah.
No, actually, his saying was know your role and shut your mouth.
Shows how much I watch wrestling.
I could have just made up any quote. You'd have been like, yeah. Exactly.
You could have been like, yeah, he does say that. That sounds like him.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.